Chelek Tezayin, Parshas Yisro, Sicha Aleph. This week's Sicha is based upon the first Pasuk in Rashi in the Parsha. The Pasuk reads, Vayishma Yisro Kayin Midyan, Chesin Moshe, and Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law and chieftain of Midyan, heard, Kol Asher Asa Elekim LeMoshe UliYisrael Amai, all that God had done for Moshe and for Israel, his nation. Ki Hoitzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim, that Hashem had taken Israel out of Egypt. Rashi asks, what did he hear that motivated him to come? Mashmua Shama Uva. Kriyas Yamsuf Milchemes Amalek. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, the crossing of the sea, and the war with Amalek. Rashi, who comes to teach and clarify Pshat, the literal intention of the Pasuk, asks what is a really puzzling question, as there seems nothing in the verse that is difficult to understand without explanation. And yet Rashi brings a question on the words Vayishma Yisrei and asks, Mashmua Shama Uva, what did he hear that motivated him to come? And despite the fact that the Pasuk seems to clearly tell us what Yisrei heard, Rashi answers, Kriyas Yamsuf Milchemes Amalek, which isn't what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says he heard everything. More puzzling is that Rashi's answer is based upon several sources with differing opinions that are given regarding what Yisrei heard. One opinion is that he heard about Milchemes Amalek, and so he came. One opinion is that he heard about Matan Torah, and this motivated him to come. And a third opinion is that he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and so he came. Rashi, in his answer, combines two of the three answers, omitting that he heard about Matan Torah. We must say, based on the answers, to where there seems to be no question, that Chazal and Rashi are highlighting something in the verse itself which does require explanation and isn't answered within the words of Kol Asher Asa Elekim, everything that God had done for them. There's another interesting question here. Yisrei became Yisrei, a letter added to his name Yeser, when he converted and took on mitzvahs. But in the Pasuk, we're talking about him yet as Kayan Midyan. Why is he referred to then as Yisrei? The Rebbe begins to answer these questions, beginning with a novel and exciting understanding of an explanation that the Rambam brings in his Pirush HaMishnayis on the Maimar Chazal and Maseches Brachos, that states that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, all that Hashem has left in this world are the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, which translates to mean the four cubits of Jewish law. In other words, the framework of Halacha. This is where Hashem can rest his divine presence. This is a very curious statement. As if one just understands, says the Rambam, this statement of our sages at face value on a very simple level, it really seems far from accurate, and distant from the truth. Man's divine service of God is not relegated only to the one area of practical law. After all, the purpose of everything in this world is for man, and to facilitate man's achieving wholeness, to be an Ish HaShalim. Now, wholeness for man, says the Rambam, depends on two things, HaChochma, the wisdom or the knowledge, VaHamaisa, and the action. In other words, a person must put effort into the wisdom, the study, and his grasp of godliness until he comes to the ultimate point of it all, which is understanding godly wisdom, the point when one can form within their soul an image or to imagine an understanding of the unification of God. What is meant by man's forming for himself an image of the unification of God? The soul of man emerges from divine thought, but it doesn't originate there. The soul originates in God's essence and is projected through thought into creation, where the body causes the soul to experience separation from the divine oneness. The study of Pnimius HaTorah, the inner workings of the soul and its relationship with God, creates the possibility for man to form an understanding of this original bond and to rise above the limitations of creation. The Rambam continues and says, every other chokhmah available to man is only to bring him to this state of knowing God. The knowing brings one to action. The action is defined by not being immersed within earthly pleasures, which is the effort of sur meira, distancing oneself from bad, and repairing one's midos, which is the ase tov of one's work. After this detailed and lengthy explanation that the Rambam gives regarding what we understand man's purpose to be, to manifest through chokhmah and ma'aseh, a unique relationship with the divine oneness, he concludes saying, and once one understands and contemplates this, one will correctly understand the Maimur Chazal that says, Mishachorav Beis HaMikdash, Ein Loid LaHakadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Dalet Ameis Shel Halacha. Since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem has nothing other in this world than the four Ameis, the four cubits of Halacha. The Rambam's conclusion, however, leaves us with a question as to how to go about achieving this. And so the Rebbe addresses these ideas. And the Rebbe begins by asking, how, if one understands HaChochma VeHamaisa, does he then understand this unusual Maimur Chazal? While the connection between law, halacha, and maisa, action, is understood because the entire purpose of halacha is to take action and to know what one may do or what we must refrain from doing. And we know the greatness of maisa, action, as Chazal teach us, that the greatness of learning is that it brings to maisa. But what is the connection that the loftiest level of wisdom of coming to know the oneness of God have to do with halacha? Even says the Rebbe, if we can find a way to translate and explain that this word halacha has a meaningful connection to chachma, or is a reference to chachma, we'd still be left wondering. The word halacha, used so often in Shas, is understood literally to mean halacha, Jewish law, how to live according to Torah. And this translation actually impacts fulfillment of Jewish law. For example, in following the dictum, one should not part from another other than with an exchange of words on Jewish law. So why would we suggest in this discussion, halacha in this Maimur Chazal means anything different to what it means everywhere else? We can, says the Rebbe, connect the beginning of this Maimur Chazal, Miyoyim Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, from the day of the temple's destruction, with the idea that the Dalet Ameis Shel Halacha, the four cubits of Halacha, is about Chachma, when we consider that if indeed Halacha replaces the spiritual haven for God in the temple, and that spiritual haven existed in two primary places. One was the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Lishkas HaGozis, the court of hewn stone, where the Jewish court sat and judged the civil Jewish law of the people. Simultaneously, the most holy place of the temple, the innermost sanctum, the Holy of Holies, where the Luchos, the tablets, and the Sefer Torah were hidden. In that case, the Dalet Ameis of Halacha, which today replaced the temple for God's innermost presence, reflects not only practical law, but also the mystical parts of Torah, which would then be the Chochma and Das, the knowledge of wisdom and wisdom in divine unity. But we still remain with the question as to how we can understand halacha in this Maimur Chazal to mean something different to every other place the word halacha is used. Perhaps the sages could have referenced this differently, but using it this way and suggesting this connection to the Chachma, replacing the innermost sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash, still leaves us needing to understand this reference, as well as the overarching question of where do we see that HaChachma and HaMaisa, as the Rambam explained them, reflect the absolute paradigm of Dalet Ameis Shel Halacha. One point of clarification in this would be that at a literal level, the commandments of Achdus Hashem, recognizing the oneness of God, Ahavas Hashem, love of God, are mitzvahs, commandments that are Jewish law, containing diverse halachic detail. In fact, the Rambam points out that these mitzvahs at the beginning of his Sefer, which is specifically a book of halacha, saying that these commandments lay the foundation of Torah and Judaism. One must know that there is a primary cause who causes all of creation to exist, and that he is one. Even a little child, says the Rambam, is obliged to practice this knowledge by reciting the Maida'ani prayer at the beginning of a day. And not just at a specific time of day are we obliged to do mitzvahs. We're instructed, Kol ma'asecha yi l'shem shamayim, everything you do, even as you sleep, must be with awareness of God. This would impact a person all the time, wherever he is. Now, what is the is of a person? The is of a person, says the Rebbe, is a 4-cubit delineated space, as we'll elaborate on shortly. And the 4 cubits of halacha interface with these 4 cubits, these 4 amos of man, so that at all times, filling every aspect of man, he is engaging with halacha, as the Rambam explains it, with chokhma and maisa. And halacha, the 4 amos of halacha, as it is determined in this way, and the commandment that all one's actions be l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven and in the name of heaven, began, says the Rebbe, with Moshe at Sinai, with the Luchos Shniyos, the 2nd Luchos, and not before. And the Rebbe will continue to explain this shortly. The idea of the 4 amos of men, which we will discuss as reflecting the 4 amos of halacha, is referenced in several sources, particularly as it impacts different determinations in halacha, like the fact that one should not pray within the 4 cubits of his Rebbe, like how the 4 cubits of man determine acquisition of a found item that has no identifiable owner. So there is a clearly delineated 4 amos apportioned to every person. We actually learn this very idea in a verse in Parshas B'Shalach, where Moshe instructs the nation not to seek to gather mun on Shabbos. He tells them not to go out to gather mun, but rather, Shvu ish tachtov, each of you should remain in your place. And your place is explained to be a reference to the 4 amos, the 4 cubits of man. The Gemara in Erevin explains this in the following way. Every human being takes up 3 cubits, and an extra cubit is added so that he can raise his hands above his head. This is a curious thing. If a person is seen to be a 3-cubit individual, legs, torso, and head, each one considered each of these 3 cubits, why is every man said to be always apportioned dalarames, 4 cubits? Just for the occasional chance that somebody wants to stretch upwards beyond his head? So says the Rebbe, understand it this way. The world was created in a perfect state and fully matured. And nevertheless, say our sages, the statement, Asher bara Elokim la'asos, that God created to do, means that the tachlis, the purpose of creation, is that man impacts the world and affects it so that it becomes more than it is as a created entity on its own before repair. This was the case even in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, a place of utter perfection. Before the chait, Adam was led into the garden in order to la'avda u'lashamra, says the pasuk, to work and guard it. So this absolutely perfect space still required man's input to extend it into another realm of perfection. Just as creation needs expanded perfection, so does man. The physical manifestation of this is observed in the physical space of each person, in the inner dimension of man's Dalet Amos. The head is the highest of the three ames of men, comprised, as we said, of his legs, torso, and head. His torso below his head, and his legs the lowest level of men, which places man's hands on a level lower than his head as well. The work man must do is to transcend his natural highest point, in other words, to raise himself beyond the place of his seichel, of his intellect that sits in his head, the highest point of these three cubits, by immersing his powers of understanding, going beyond, higher than the natural limitations of his head, and using his seichel for understanding divine oneness. Now, when he connects this transcendence to his hands, using his hands, in other words, transcending with an action, like the giving of tzedakah, he purifies, says the Rebbe, his heart and his intellect thereby thousandfold, which tells us that whenever a person raises himself to transcend his natural limitations, there must be a shift, a change, and an impact in practical action. So both maaseh affects the intellect, and transcending one's natural limitations of intellect affect the action. And for this purpose of chokhmah and avodah, man was given four ames, the expectation that man will expand himself and elevate himself, transcending his natural limitations. Now, this paradigm of dalet ames in creation and in man is also the paradigm of Torah, as all of creation is gleaned from Torah. Torah is a rayin klisoi, a Torah of threes, divided in three sections, which is generally Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And again, this is why the world is divided in three. The world being a composite of chomer, formless matter, tzura, matter taking form, and tikkun, the completed form. Through tshuva, tshuva done after Chet HaEgel, and the luchos shniyos, the second luchos, a level higher than creation, man has achieved the additional level in Torah, which is a double portion of Yeshua, a salvation through Torah, through the luchos shniyos. This is true in all areas of Torah. There are three sections of Torah, or three levels in Torah, just as there are in creation. In Torah, they are Pshat, Remez, and Drush, and these comprise the body of Torah. But again, we look for the goal, for the Tachlis, and that is that through his effort, man reaches the fourth Amma, a fourth cubit, or level in Torah, that is the transcendent level, beyond the body of Torah, into the level of Seid of Torah, the soul of Torah. This is the level that the Rambam in our earlier discussion refers to as Nechbad Shebemuskalis, the most honorable aspect of intellect, via which man reaches the mission and the purpose, Letzayer Lenafshei Achtus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, visualizing for himself the oneness of God. All of these levels, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Seid, are referred to as halacha, similar to the paradigm of man whose four ames are so that man can use his hands, stretch them beyond his head, so to speak, beyond his intellect, using the transcendent chachma ultimately for maisa. So too the neshama of Torah, the level of Sod, higher than creation, then the order of the three sections of Torah is seen in its greatest potential as it is expressed in halacha as it affects action. In fact, it is most significant when the fourth transcendent level of Torah becomes manifest in action. Accordingly, we can understand the connection of the four ames of halacha with the destruction of the temple. Though nowhere is void of God, and the earth is filled with God's presence, this is a concealed reality. But in the Beis HaMikdash, God's presence was revealed, And from there, the influence of that revelation spread over the entire world. The revelation in the temple itself also had different levels of divine presence. There were three general or primary spaces where Hashem's Shechina inhabited the Mishkan. Those were the Chotzer, the courtyard of the Ohel Moed, and the Heichal, the Holy of Holies. And so while the divine presence rested in the entire Beis HaMikdash, the essence or the essential place where the Shechina rested was in the Kodesh HaKodshim, in the Holy of Holies. And in the Kodesh HaKodshim, the essential place of the divine presence was through the Arin. And so the Arin becomes a fourth level in the Beis HaMikdash, even as it stood in the Kodesh HaKodshim. The Arun revealed this higher dimension of Torah that transcends creation, defying measure and limitation, and thereby revealing the oneness, the complete unification of all creation in one God. Even this highest level of revelation of the Shechina was connected to action, to Maaseh. The Beis HaMikdash in its entirety was Maaseh Yedei Adam, built by man, as were the Kelim, the vessels made by man, constituting Maaseh in its actual truest form. But this experience of Maaseh manifested deeply in the service of the Kehanim in the Beis HaMikdash, culminating on Yom Kippur with the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKodshim, the Holy of Holies, sprinkling blood on the Aron. The Avodah of the Kohen on Yom Kippur and his entry into the Holy of Holies was the Avodah of a manifestation of Moshe on Yom Kippur, when Moshe went back onto the mountain and asked for forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf. When Moshe returned, he returned with a Luchos Shniyos, the second Luchos. These second Luchos that followed the tshuva of Bnei Yisrael, the repentance of the nation, brought this additional element of Torah, that higher transcendent element of Torah, that idea that kol ma'asecha yihyu l'shem shamayim, that all of one's life and actions should be for the purpose of serving God. But in truth, all parts of Torah contain this higher level of Seid. And though this higher level came through the Luchos Shniyos as a result of the tshuva of the nation, nevertheless, every Jew can reach this essence or this point of Helem Ha'atzmi, this most concealed point of Torah, though the true fulfillment of this will be revealed only with the ultimate revelation of the Torah of Mashiach through our efforts in this time of Golos. Yet, Matan Torah will not occur again, as all was given at Matan Torah. Only drawing it down in its revelation will come through our efforts. In fact, though the revelation at Sinai in the soul of Torah was revealed through Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Hashem descended upon the mountain, thereby bringing a revelation that transcended nature, not only by speaking the Aseres HaDibros, but with the action of descending upon the mountain. Explaining this in the style of the Rambam, as per our discussion, both ideas of HaChochma and HaMaisa existed at Matan Torah. Chochma was all the dimensions of Torah that were given it together, including Seid Shebatorah, the soul of Torah, the revelation of the oneness of God, and Maaseh through God's descent onto the mountain. The effort and the preparation for this had to come from man. Moshe ascended the mountain, going out of his limitations, as man must leave his limitations, the limitations of Tachtonim, lower worlds, as Chazal teach us regarding the Sinaic experience, Tachtonim Ya'alu Le'Elyonim, the lower worlds rose up to and merged with higher worlds. And so the experience at Sinai, the descent of God onto the mountain, and God speaking the Aseres HaDibros, actually perpetuates the possibility for us to do this avodah that the Rambam ascribes to us as the ultimate purpose. According to all that we've discussed, we can go back to our questions on Yisrei. According to the Zohar, the Torah was given specifically after Yisrei came and converted. His coming was a preparation for Matan Torah. Therefore, he is referred to here in this pasuk as Yisrei. In fact, the entire Torah portion is referred to by his name, and not something like Shabbos Matan Torah, as this is the Shabbos that we read the Aseres HaDibros. Like last week was referred to as Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos when we read the song at the sea. Because in his name, Yisrei, we find the point and the purpose of Matan Torah itself. The name Yisrei includes both ideas of Yeser, the fact that a parsha was added to the Torah in his name, and the name Yisrei with the additional vav, which was bestowed upon him with his acceptance of mitzvahs. These two ideas reflect the chokhmah and the maisa that were achieved at Matan Torah and the preparation for this. As we said, there must be a preparation of going beyond one's natural boundaries and limitations to prepare for this work. And this was the work that Yisrei did with himself. This work is alluded to in the way this pasuk says, Vayishma Yisrei Kohen Midyan, mentioning that Yisrei was a chieftain to Avodah Zarah, a priest to Avodah Zarah. While this would look like it would be besmirching Yisrei's name and not praiseworthy, in fact this description denotes two ideas. One is Kohen, a minister, and the other a priest to idol worship. These two descriptions defined Yisrei before he came to convert. He was an important figure among the idol-worshipping people of one of the most important areas, developed areas at that time in the world, busying himself in enacting the laws of the king, and this was his former Maisa. As well, he was a priest, and this was an appellation that tells us of how knowledgeable and learned he was. And Rashi, in fact, mentions that Yisrei had knowledge in every type of idol worship that existed in the entire world. This was the Chochmah of Yisrei, or the Chochmah of Midian. Clearly, they erred in their thinking, and he erred in his thinking and grasping of the concept of God. Much like the error that the Rambam elaborates on that was perpetuated in the time of Enosh, when the knowledge that Hashem had given power to the stars and the heavenly bodies to lead the world was mistakenly understood to mean that man was obligated to give praise and honor to these stars and the heavenly bodies. Yisrei's recognition of all Avodah Zarah in the world and knowledge of them meant that he, in his position as Kohen Midyan, mistakenly did not see that these were not entities who gave themselves existence, and that one was not permitted to consider these entities with honor, much less deify them. Therefore, the pasuk points out, Vayishma Yisrei Kohen Midyan, in both Chochmah and Maisa, in the state that opposed holiness, Yisrei was rather complete, and nevertheless, he was able to hear and to come to convert and to transform HaChochmah and HaMaisa as he knew it utterly to holiness. Hence, Yisrei, a portion of Torah, of Chochmah, or Yeser, a portion of Torah added, of Chochmah was added, a portion wherein Yisrei recognizes Godol Havaya Mikol Helekim, that God is greater than all gods, hence the wholeness of Chochmah, of Achdus HaBeira, the oneness of God, and Yisrei, he came to do the mitzvahs, that is the fulfillment of Maisa. As has been mentioned other places at great length, The idea of Matan Torah was the abolishing of the gzeirah, of the decree, to the extent that tachtonim, lower worlds, rose up to higher worlds, that creation or creatures could go out of their limitations as created beings and lift themselves up higher, le'elyonim, to higher realities. From this we understand that also Yisrael, whose coming to Bnei Yisrael was a preparation to Matan Torah, was this, in similar way, a form of avodah with himself, going out of his own limitations and measured existence. And this is the emphasis that Rashi places on the words mashmua shama uva, and not on the words anat. On the word, Rashi doesn't add the word vinizgayer. Rashi says, what did he hear that he, what shmua did he hear? And he came. Rashi doesn't say, and he came and he converted. What was it, Rashi says? The pasuk is referencing what Yisrael heard and what was it that brought him so that then he should be Megayer, so that then he should afterwards convert. And Rashi explains, es kol asher asa lekim l'maysha l'Yisrael amai, these words. Rashi is explaining all that Hashem had done for Moshe and for Yisrael, his nation. Rashi's question is, Mashmua shama uva, what is it that he heard and made him come? He heard these things in Midian, and he could have remained in Midian, and there he could have converted. What was it, though, that brought him to coming out to the desert to join the Jews there? Going out of his place of comfort, out of his limitations, to come to a barren desert. And this is where Rashi brings an explanation and says, it was Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. It was the crossing of the sea and the war with Amalek. Kriyas Yamsuf happened. How did they cross the sea? Because Hashem said to them, Vayisou. They stood before the sea and they didn't know what to do. Should they retreat? Should they pray? Should they drown themselves? Hashem said to Moshe, Vayisou. Just move forward. This was the aspect of Maaseh, of taking action. And Yisrael heard about Milchemes Amalek. What was Milchemes Amalek? Milchemes Amalek, the war with Amalek, came as a result of a lack of chokhmah. The Jews asked, Hayesh havaya bikirbeinu imayin, is God among us or not? And yet, their victory came as a result of the fact that even after they asked this, they raised their eyes heavenwards, heavenwards to God. The idea of raising their eyes heavenwards was seeking a transcendent level of chokhmah. Both of these were the things that Yisrael heard about. And when he heard these things, he understood that these were things that required a preparation. The preparation of an avodah, putting an effort into going out of one's limitations. Kriyas Yamsuf. It is known that the idea of Kriyas Yamsuf, in other words, what happened that precipitated Kriyas Yamsuf, was the effort, the maaseh, that the Jews actually went forth into the Yam. Hashem said, Vayisou, and they should go. And they went. That was their maaseh. That was their action. But what happened to the sea? Hafach yom liyabasha. The sea turned to dry land. What does this represent? The idea of bitul, the nullification, or breaking away from the hagbolas, the limitations, and the divisions between a concealed world. The yam is considered a world that is concealed. It conceals that which is within, and Gilui, a revealed reality, which is land. On land, you can see what exists. This has been explained, the Rebbe says, in many places at length. And this was the hachana, a preparation to Matan Torah, which is the idea of Tachtonim Ya'alu Le'Elyonim, that the lower worlds can be raised up, that which is concealed can become revealed. Lower worlds can be raised up to higher worlds. Milchemes Amalek, the war with Amalek, what we understand, what did Yisrael see, or what did Yisrael hear? The klipa of Amalek is the idea of coldness. We say about Amalek that Amalek must be wiped out, because what did Amalek do? Asher korcha baderech, he cooled you off on the way. We left Egypt warm in our faith, and Amalek coming out to fight us caused us to ask, is God among us? He cooled us up on the way. What is this idea of coldness? The Rebbe says it negates the very possibility of considering an avoda that transcends reason. It turns everything into a need for reason. It seems as though this coldness of Amalek somehow agrees with the idea of serving God, but not to the extent that a person should go beyond that which he understands, beyond the limitations of understanding. That is the idea of Milchemes Amalek, that Yisrael could hear. The idea of Milchemes Amalek then was breaking this klipa, breaking this coldness to the Aveda, breaking the coldness to the possibility of transcending logic and transcending reason in one's service of God. It was hearing these two things, Kriyas Yamsuf, the crossing of the sea, the idea of taking action, Umilchemes Amalek, and the war with Amalek, the idea of transcending logic, that impacted Yisrael to the extent that he knew that he needed Uvoi to come, that he needed to go out of his limitations, leave the place of his honor as the Kohen Midian, as the priest of Midian, and come to a barren desert in order to convert. And this became the preparation, the Rebbe says, to Matan Torah. This became the possibility for nullifying this gzeira, this decree, that Tachtonim and Elyonim would not meet. And it made possible for Tachtonim, for lower worlds, Ya'alu Le'Elyonim, to rise up and to merge with higher reality.